We have been doing studies from the book of Psalms, and this particular psalm is another walkthrough study under the category of the kingship of God. So, that being the case, let's all stand for our scripture reading. It's from Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. You may be seated. Psalm 97 continues in the theme and tone of the previous psalms. It uses phrases found in other psalms and other Old Testament passages. J.M. Boyce has commented, quote, Psalms 96, 97, 98, each hail God's coming as the world's king. But Psalms 69 and 68 soar with delight at what is in store for the world when Jesus returns, while in Psalm 97, the frightening and awesome side of God's kingly rule is emphasized, end quote. The psalmist celebrates the Lord's dominion over nations and nature, describes its effect on foes and friends, and then encourages the latter. Verse 1, we see a call to rejoice. Quote, the Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of isles be glad, end quote, from Psalm 97:1. And I'm using the New King James Version throughout. The Lord reigns. Like Psalm 93, this psalm begins suddenly and wonderfully with the proclamation of God's rule. He is not a useless idol or a local deity. He is not passive, nor the watchmaker who created all things and then left it alone. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob actively plans, acts, and rules over the universe. Isaiah exclaims, quote, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news and says to Zion, your God reigns. Isaiah 52:7. The earth rejoice. God's reign brings joy to the earth. We can imagine an evil reign that would bring terror, such as the New World Order. Sometimes men are given room to exercise their wicked will, yet God's reign is obvious and can be seen even to, quote, the multitude of the isles, the most distant places. The multitude of isles. Whenever I see isles in the Bible, I think of small ones and large ones, but most predominantly the British Isles. The RSV translates the word coastlands. It is here that anyone who examines just a little of the history of Britain can see the working of God's reign on earth. At one time, many ages ago, God's covenant people exercised God's authority in these isles by enacting laws they found in the Bible. But sadly today, the kingdom is far from what our God desires. Our second section here, verses 2 through 6, depict the Lord's greatness. Quote, clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. A fire goes before him and burns up his enemies round about. His lightnings light the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord of the whole earth, the heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. End quote. verses 2 to 6. Clouds and darkness surround him. The psalmist may have had in mind the appearance of God at Mount Sinai, which was marked by, quote, a thick cloud on the mount and, quote, the smoke of a furnace, end quote. Quote, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the other part of the mount. And the Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. Exodus 19 through 16 through 18, King James Version. Clouds and darkness do not belong to the nature of God, who, quote, is light and in him is no darkness at all, 1 John 1:5, end quote. But it refers to the inner relationship between God and fallen man, in which are involved problems that man cannot solve or work out. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. God's throne is not based on deception, bribery, or the blood of war. The foundation of his throne is nothing else but, quote, righteousness and justice, end quote. And these are immovably fixed. There can be no departure from this foundation. Of this we can be sure. This is why the earth can rejoice at his reign. A fire goes before him. This is a poetic description of the same kind of phenomena that happened at Mount Sinai. This phrase either refers to what God did then or uses the same ideas to describe a future display of his sovereignty. Quote, the presence of the Lord of the whole earth, end quote, verse 5. That's his sovereignty. God not only pronounces righteous judgments, but also executes them. Fire here represents the consuming judgment on sin. God is a consuming fire, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Quote, take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image, or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. End quote from Deuteronomy chapter 4. God cannot tolerate sin in his presence. Quote, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. End quote from 1 Peter 1:16. This judgment of fire is what his adversaries will experience when he, quote, burns up round about, end quote from verse 3. Quote, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In addition to the flame around him that consumes everything that does not submit to his holiness, there are, quote-unquote, his lightnings. Lightning flashes also make a deep impression by lighting up the world and revealing everything in it. They are sudden deliverers of God's judgments. Quote, the earth sees and trembles, end quote. For they are terrifying and irresistible. Such an outpouring of power the earth has never seen as yet. The mountains melt like wax. Quote, unquote, the mountains, symbols of stability, quote, melt at the presence of the Lord, end quote, verse 5. This consuming is his appearance and sovereign will. Nothing will stand in his way. Obstacles disappear, and a highway, from Isaiah 35:8, is made when our God shows up. And a lot of us are looking for that as even expressed today. All the people see his glory. This will come forth more prominently at the second advent of the Christ, when the trumpet of the archangel shall proclaim his approach in the clouds of heaven, and all the tribes of the earth shall see him coming in the glory of his Father. Our next section in this psalm, instructing the nations, verses 7 through 9, quote, let all be put to shame who serve carved images, who boast of idols. Worship him, all you gods. Zion hears and is glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoice. Because of your judgments, O Lord, for you, Lord, are most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods, end quote. Let all be put to shame who serve carved images. Considering the greatness and the power of the great I am, those who boast of idols should be ashamed. Poetically speaking, even the gods of the heathen, quote, worship him, or bow down and submit. Zion hears and is glad. The whole earth benefits from the majestic revelation of God, but his people are especially glad. His righteous judgments make, quote, the daughters of Judah rejoice, end quote. Zion and the daughters of Judah represent the whole of Judah, that is, other cities besides Jerusalem. And in a Christian sense, these may be taken to represent the remnant churches today, which will participate in the expected joy of the faithful at Christ's final coming. The daughters of Judah. Many believe this phrase alludes to a custom familiar in Judea, that of David forming choral bands of maidens after a victory or some other happy event. You, Lord, are most high above all the earth. Previously, the psalmist spoke about God to the world. Here he addresses God directly, praising him as, quote, exalted far above all gods, end quote, from verse 9. These gods, little g, may also refer to all members of the heavenly court. From the Epistle to the Hebrews, we find that this psalm is a prophetical description of the Messiah. From that assertion, we note two important truths concerning the Christ. One, regarding his person, the first begotten. The other, his exaltation as the promised Messiah. Quote, in many and various ways God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He reflects the glory of God and bears the very stamp of his nature, upholding the universe by his word of power. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, end quote, from Hebrews, the first three verses, and I use the RSV. The psalmist, too, with the words, far above all gods, refers to the government of him who is God manifest in the flesh and who is received up into glory. And I'm quoting here, his appearing in our world was a veiling of his glory, veiled in the flesh of a baby. His resurrection was a reappearing in glory. In his ascension, he exhibited the dignity of his Godhead. And on entering heaven, he sat down on the throne of his Father to administer the affairs of that kingdom which he had now established, the duration of which is to have no end. In the exaltation of Christ, we have abundant proof of the acceptance of his sacrifice. His death was sacrificial and expiatory in nature and was accepted by the Father. He is exalted, but it is as a sacrifice, as high priest and mediator, as a prince and a savior to give repentance and remission of sins. Christ is invested with mediatorial power and dominion. In Philippians 2, 6 through 11, you have a proper view of this dominion of Christ. All things are put under him. There is not a creature in all of existence who does not yield, a willing or an unwilling, a conscious or an unconscious, homage to him. He employs all these things to accomplish the purposes of his mercy toward the salvation of men. End quote from the preacher's homiletical. The nature of his deliverance is seen in verses 10 through 12. Quote, you who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. End quote from Psalm 97, verses 10 to 12. You who love the Lord, hate evil. Again, the psalmist addresses the people of Israel and introduces a strong statement, hate evil. Despite the abrupt transition, the psalmist sensibly connected the appearance of God, whose very throne is founded on righteousness, with the same desire that his people should also have. It may be that this command is one of the most often broken among God's people. We find it easy to be too loving, or rather express a twisted love that pretends to both love the Lord and love or accept the things that he hates. This is unfortunate and should not be the case. Nationally, it is possible for our people to be angry at sin and evil without truly hating it. We may be angry at the trouble sin causes, but not hate it enough to repent and forsake it. The psalmist ends with an exhortation to the faithful to hate evil. Evil will separate them from God's blessing, and evil will be their destruction. Therefore, let them abhor it. Indifference to evil only leads to trouble. Love to God and love of sin, or even tolerance of sin, are incompatible. He preserved the souls of his saints. The psalmist described many ways that God blesses and protects his people. He cares for their souls, delivers from the wicked, sends light to their pathway, and gives them gladness. The Lord Jesus watches over his saints and guards them from destruction. That is what a shepherd does for his sheep. Light is sown. Adam Clark said, quote, every grace of God is a seed, which he intends should produce a thousandfold in the hearts of genuine believers. We do not so much require more grace from God as the cultivation of what we have received. God will not give more unless we improve what we have. Remember the parable of the talents. Let the light and the gladness be faithfully cultivated, and they will multiply themselves till the whole body shall be full of light and the whole soul full of happiness. End quote. Kidner argued that light is sown was not the best translation. Quote, light dawns is surely the right reading here, following one Hebrew manuscript and all the ancient versions. End quote. The word light is almost a synonym for blessing, since it embraces life, prosperity, and joy. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous. Considering the greatness of God and his goodness to his people, it is proper for them to rejoice in him. The rejoicing should not be primarily in what he has given, but in the Lord himself, with thanksgiving, quote, the remembrance of his holy name, end quote, verse 12. The word name refers to reputation, distinction, prominence, honor, etc., that literal name also being Jesus. From our opening scripture text, we conclude from Hebrews chapter 1 concerning the superiority of the sun. Quote, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. End quote. Hebrews chapter 1, 3 to 4. The person of the Son was the true image and character of the Father. He is not said to be the likeness of God, implying resemblance, but image, which means that he reveals God. In beholding his power, wisdom, and goodness, men were beholding the Father, for he was God manifest in the flesh, having all the perfections of God in him. Jesus Christ as God was equal with the Father, but as the God-man, he revealed the Father to men and became the mediator between God and men. He is the appointed heir of all things, sovereign Lord, absolute governor, and disposer of all persons and things. He is above every other messenger ever sent into the world, and has a name, a reputation, a preeminence above all celestial beings. Those who rejoice in Jesus Christ and his salvation to the throne and his exaltation to the throne have fountains of joy treasured up for themselves. We do this when we gather in worship every week. While we may expect tribulation in this world, the day is coming when we shall see all powers recognize the chief power and the kingdom of Jesus Christ victorious among the heathen. Quote, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. End quote. Hebrews 1:8.